RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program for summary for today.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. National hero title for Suharto still on hold, Minister Kofifa says. Golkar more supporting Basuki Cahayapurnama Ahok's re-election bid. Timor Leste gives merit for the entire personnel of Indonesia's healthcare mission. Now the news in detail. A plan to bestow the official title of National Hero to former President Suharto is still being discussed by the Council on Titles, Decorations and Honours, tasked with proposing names for the title, Social Affairs Minister Kofifah Indar Parawansa said on Sunday. The plan is on everyone's lips this month after newly elected Golkar Party Chairman Setia Novanto promised he will do his best to secure the National Hero title for Suharto, the founder of Golkar, who ruled the country for 32 years, saying Suharto pioneered this country's development. According to government regulation, the social ministry has to propose a series of names to be given the title of national hero to the president after discussing them with the titles council. The president will decide which names will be given the official title, which will be granted in a ceremony on National Heroes Day, November 10th. However, not everyone agrees that former dictator Suharto should be given the title. Chief Security Minister Luhut Panjaitan has declared his support for the pro-Suharto side, saying the country should not forget the positive things Suharto did, though as a leader, he did make some mistakes. On the other side of the divide, Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle PDIP lawmaker Masinton Pasaribu asked the government to reconsider the plan since the public now sees Suharto as the ultimate source of corruption, collusion, and nepotistic practices during his rule. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said he will still run as an independent in next year's gubernatorial election after Golkar Party more supporting his re-election bid. Golkar spokeswoman Nurul Arifin said the party is vetting several hopefuls, but Basuki appears to be the strongest contender. Basuki was formerly a lawmaker from Golkar, but resigned from the party to participate in the 2012 gubernatorial election as Joko Widodo's running mate. Joko Widodo and Basuki Cahayapurnama were supported by a coalition between the Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle PDIP and the Great Indonesia Movement Party Gerindra as Golkar went with Alex Nurdin of South Sumatra. Nurul said Golkar has always maintained a close relationship with its former member Basuki, one of the key reasons why the party is considering backing the popular governor in the 2017 election. A group of volunteers named Teman Ahok or Friends of Ahok have gathered signatures needed to qualify as an independent. The group surpassed the minimum last month. Two parties, the National Democratic Party Nasdem and the People's Conscience Party Hanura, have stated their former support for Basuki regardless of his decision to run as an independent. Lender Bank Permata announced its plan to raise 5.5 trillion rupiah or $400 million from selling stakes via a limited public offering or rights issue has received a green light from the Financial Services Authority or OJK. In a statement sent to the media on Sunday, the lender, a 50-50 joint venture between Astra International and Standard Chartered Bank, said it plans to sell 10.5 billion new shares at the exercise price of 526 rupiah per share to raise 5.5 trillion rupiah. Each existing shareholder of Bank Permata will be entitled to buy 249 shares should they want to exercise their preemptive rights. The rights issue is scheduled to be completed by June this year. The lender said proceeds from the rights issue will be used to strengthen its core equity and capital structure as well as support business expansion. Bank Permata said its two controlling shareholders have stated their commitment to exercise their rights and will also act as the standby buyer to purchase remaining shares not absorbed by public shareholders, if there is any. The government of Democratic Republic of Timor-Leste gives merit to all personnel of Indonesia's healthcare mission for people and Timor-Leste's military on January 29th to February 2nd, 2016 in Dili, Timor-Leste. The embedding of merits took place at the Ministry of Defense on Monday. Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Mizar-Ria Kudus said it will be the forerunner of cooperation between Indonesia and Timor-Leste in addition to the health sector. In the healthcare mission, Indonesia deployed 441 military medical personnel and the Ministry of Defense. As quoted by Kompas.com, the type of general and specialist medical care was given in the form of general medicine, dental, and early examination stroke. It also provided services cataract surgery, cleft lift, hernia, circumcision, and many other health services. The total number of patients reaching 3,692 people. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Activities of Mount Kerinci, which is located on the border of South Solok, West Sumatra, and the Kerinci Regency, Jambi, increased with spotting thick black volcanic ash as high as 400 meters on Monday morning. Head of Mount Kerinci Monitoring Post Indra Saputra, when contacted in Padang Aro on Monday, said that around 8 West Indonesia time, bursts of volcanic ash of Mount Kerinci looks like thick black. Previously, Secretary of South Solok Regional Disaster Management Agency, Sumardianto, stated that there is no residential area in that red zone of Mount Kerinci eruption area. Indonesia Thomas and Gilbert teams arriving in Indonesia this evening and will be welcomed despite failing to win the tournament. Community Relations and Social Media Division Head of Indonesia Badminton Association, Yuni Kartika, said today, May 23, 2016, in a press release. Therefore, PBSI will welcome Thomas Cup 2016 team and give them with wreath of flowers, Yuni said. Indonesia has failed to end its 14-year Thomas Cup drought after being beaten by Denmark. As for Denmark, it was the first Thomas Cup title after a 67-year wait. Indonesia lost in three-man singles matches against Denmark. Tommy Sugiarto, Anthony Sinisuka Ginting, and Ihsan Maulana Mustafa failed to net a single point despite lifeline given by Setiawan Muhammad Ahsan and Angga Pratama Ricky Karandaswardi through their wins over respective opponents. The last item, British car and aero engine manufacturer Rolls-Royce has been challenged to establish polytechnic training institutions in Indonesia that will be able to train a local workforce for the aero engine industry. During a discussion in Jakarta, Director General of Higher Education Pat Dono Swignyo said the company needed to create a long-term program in the country, such as specialized polytechnics for aero engine spare part and maintenance, instead of only sending lecturers to study abroad. But Dono stated that the Swiss government, for instance, has developed several higher education institutions in Indonesia, including Manufacturing Polytechnic in Bandung that has become one of the best in the country. Regarding this statement, PT Rolls-Royce Indonesia President Director Adrian Short said that the company would continue to support Indonesian education programs and that he would take the matter to his headquarters to be discussed. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. National hero title for Suharto still on hold, Minister Kofifa says. Golkar mul supporting Basuki Cahayapurnama Ahok's re-election bid. Timor Leste gives merit for the entire personnel of Indonesia's healthcare mission. That was the news.
Listener, our commentary today entitled Waiting for the Legalization of National Cyber Bureau. The National Cyber Bureau will soon be established. Coordinating Minister for Politics, Law and Security, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, said as quoted by Antara that the realization of establishment of the National Cyber Agency is now only awaiting a presidential regulation. This has been highly awaited by the public in view of high number of cyber attacks against Indonesia. Based on data from the Indonesian Security Incident Response Team on Internet Infrastructure, ID Security, Indonesia received 48.8 million cyber attacks in 2014. The number will continue to grow as more and more industries are connected to the internet, such as healthcare, financial, transportation, up to the activity of online buying and selling or e-commerce. Cyber attacks have resulted in considerable financial loss. Based on data from Norton by Symantec from January 2015 until February 2016, it was noted that the total financial loss from cybercrime in Indonesia reached 194.6 billion rupiah. In the period of 2012-2015, the police arrested 571 people suspected as perpetrators of cybercrime. 529 of them were foreign nationals and 42 suspects were Indonesian citizens. There are parties that do not agree with the establishment of the National Cyber Agency, which will be officiated in the near future. One of them is the State Intelligence Agency, or BIN, which rejects it and states that this will only waste the state budget. Bambang Sosirianto, director of State Intelligence Agency 54, as reported by Business.com, said the government should take advantage of the existing resources instead of creating new bodies such as the National Cyber Bureau. As a matter of fact, although there are some institutions that had been dealing with cybercrime, the National Cyber Agency still needs to be established. The institutions that have managed and monitored the cyberspace are ID Security, BIN, and State Cyber Agency. Unfortunately, there has been no coordinated plan to deal with cybercrime attacks. The presence of National Cyber Agency is expected to undertake the task of defense, security and monitoring of the cyberspace as well as unifying the entire government cyber divisions nationally. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, in our regular Today in History. Over a rail service, Voice of Indonesia, we start for an event on May 23, 1992, when Giovanni Falcone was killed. Giovanni Falcone was an Italian prosecuting magistrate from his office in the Palace of Justice in Palermo, Sicily, as he spent most of his professional life trying to overthrow the power of the Sicilian Mafia. After a long and distinguished career, culminating in the famous Maxi trial in 1986-1987, he was killed by Corleonesi Mafia in May 1992 on the motorway near the town of Capaci. His life was the same as his close friend, Paolo Borsellino. They both spent their early years in the same neighborhood in Palermo.
and thought many of their childhood friends grew up in the mafia background. Watchmen fought on the other side of the war as prosecuting magistrates. They were both killed in 1992, a few months apart. In recognition of their tireless support and sacrifice during the anti-mafia trials, they were both awarded the talent Medaglia d'Oro or Faretto Seal, which means gold medal for civil valor. They were also named as the heroes of the last 60 years in November 13, 2006, issued in the Time magazine. The next event was in 1997 when Syed Mohammad Khatami was elected as president. Syed Mohammad Khatami is an Iranian scholar, Shia theologian, and reformist politician. Running on a reform agenda, Khatami was elected as president on 23rd of May 1997, in what many have described as a remarkable election. Voters' turnout was nearly 80%, despite limited television airtime, most of which went to Conservative Speaker of the Parliament and Federal candidate Ali Akbar Natef Nouri. Khatami received 70% of the vote. Even in a combed, the center of theological training in Iran and a conservative stronghold, 70% of voters cast their ballots for Khatami. He was re-elected on 8th of June 2001 for a second term and stepped down on 3rd of August 2005 after serving his maximum two consecutive terms according to Islamic Republic's constitution. Well, listener, the last event was in 2000 when Prime Minister Ehud Barak withdrew Israel forces from southern Lebanon. The southern Lebanon conflict 1985-2000, or the situation conflict in Lebanon, refers to 15 years of warfare between the Israel Defense Forces and its Lebanese proxy militias and Lebanese Muslim guerrillas led by Iranian-backed Hezbollah within what was defined by Israelis as the security zone in South Lebanon. It can also refer to the continuation of conflict in this region, beginning with Palestine Liberation Organization PLO operations transferred to South Lebanon. Following the civil war events of 1971, Black September in the Kingdom of Jordan, historical tension between Palestinian refugee and Lebanese factions resulted in the violent Lebanese internal political struggle among many different factions. In light of this, the South Lebanon conflict can be seen as part of a Lebanese civil war. By the year 2000, following his campaign promise, newly elected Prime Minister Ehud Barak withdrew Israel forces from southern Lebanon within the year. In accordance with the UN Security Council Resolution 425 passed in 1978. The withdrawal consequently resulted in the immediate total collapse of SLA. Despite Israeli actions, the Lebanese government and Hezbollah still considered the withdrawal incomplete until Israel withdrew from Shabab Farms. Following the withdrawal, Hezbollah had monopolized its military and civil control of the southern part of Lebanon. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today's the theme is the government's effort to develop vocational schools, or SMK, to increase the employment rate. Vocational high schools, or SMK, have become one of the capitals of the Indonesian government to reduce unemployment rate. To answer these challenges, the government through the Ministry of Education and Culture keeps improving the development of vocational schools to increase employment. In 2015, the government opened 70 vocational schools, and in 2016, the government plans to add 341. In a discussion in overcoming challenges on the gap between education and employment in Jakarta on Saturday, May 21st, as quoted by Kompas.com, Education and Culture Minister Anies Baswedan said the government has done considerable leap by adding 20 vocational schools which are increasingly needed in the future. He also explained that there are three main strategic sectors, namely tourism, maritime, and agricultural sectors. The development in these sectors is so remarkable that he hopes that it will not provide an opportunity for foreign workers, especially from ASEAN countries, to work in Indonesia. He added that, especially for maritime sector, some of the education processes are conducted by the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries. Meanwhile, the Ministry of Education and Culture only adds some to the field of maritime. The addition of some vocational schools in the maritime sector only adjusts the growing needs. On the other hand, related to tourism, Minister Anies pointed out that 60% of foreign tourists comes to Indonesia for cultural reasons, while 30% because of the nature, and the remaining 10% is due to other factors. For that reason, the government intends to create vocational school graduates in the field of tourism. To realize vocational graduates who have qualified expertise, the government has set up a 4-year learning time for vocational high school SMK. Currently, there are about 100 SMKs which have a 4-year study program. Director of Vocational Program at the Ministry of Education and Culture, Mustafirin Amin, said the number of the vocational schools will be increased to 150 until 200 schools. According to him, the additional learning time can improve the quality and competence of vocational school students as skilled workers. It can also facilitate students in the region so that they do not need to go to big cities to continue their education in polytechnics, because the vocational school with a 4-year study program will be spread across various regions in the country. Mustafirin said, today, some regions that already have a vocational school with a 4-year study program are Makassar, Pontianak, Yogyakarta, Semarang, Bandung, and Jakarta. That was Focus Today.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. A plan to bestow the official title of National Hero to former President Suharto is still being discussed by the Council on Titles, Decorations, and Honors, tasked with proposing names for the title, Social Affairs Minister Kofifa Indar Parawansa said Sunday. The plan is on everyone's lips this month after newly elected Golkar Party Chairman Setia Novanto promised he will do his best to secure the National Hero title for Suharto, the founder of Golkar, who ruled the country for 32 years, saying Suharto pioneered this country's development. Jakarta Governor Basuki Jayapurnama said he will still run as an independent in next year's gubernatorial election after Golkar Party mule supporting his re-election bid. Golkar spokeswoman Nurul Arifin said the party is vetting several hopefuls, but Basuki appears to be the strongest contender. Lender Bank Permata announced its plan to raise 5.5 trillion rupiah or $400 million from selling stakes via a limited public offering or right issue has received a green light from the Financial Services Authority or OJK. In a statement sent to the media on Sunday, the lender, a 50-50 joint venture between Astra International and Standard Chartered Bank, said it plans to sell 10.5 billion new shares at the exercise price of 526 rupiah per share to raise 5.5 trillion rupiah. The government of Democratic Republic of Timor Leste gives merit to all personnel of Indonesia's healthcare mission for people and Timor Leste's military on January 29th to February 2nd, 2016 in Dili, Timor Leste. Activities of Mount Kerinci, which is located on the border of South Solok, West Sumatra, and Kerinci Regency, Jambi, increased with spouting thick black volcanic ash as high as 400 meters on Monday morning. Indonesia Thomas and Uber teams arriving in Indonesia this evening and welcome despite failing to win the tournament. Community Relations and Social Media Division Head of Indonesia Badminton Association, Unikartika, said in a press release. Therefore, PBSI will welcome Thomas Cup 2016 team and give them with wreath of flowers.
British car and aero engine manufacturer Rolls-Royce has been challenged to establish polytechnic training institutions in Indonesia that will be able to train a local workforce for the aero engine industry. During a discussion in Jakarta, Director General of Higher Education Pak Dono Suwiknyo said the company needed to create a long-term program in the country, such as specialized polytechnics for aero engine spare part and maintenance, instead of only sending lecturers to study abroad. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You still tuned to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here's our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to East Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. Listeners, if you hear a word of East Nusa Tenggara, tourism object which usually comes to our mind, Timur, is Kilimutu Lake or Komodo Island. But please try to visit Atambua, Belu Regency. Here you can find a tourism object, namely Kolam Susu. At the pond, you will enjoy beautiful natural scenery. At surrounding area, we can see towering cliffs. At the area, there is forest of kedondong tree, which makes Kolam Susu air fresh, although sun overpowering. Kedondong tree is an equatorial or tropical tree. Kolam Susu is rich of fish, especially milk fish. Since the past, this pond has been utilized by local people to enjoy natural situation. Listeners, Kolam Susu is local language means mosquito breeding because this tourism object is surrounded by dense mangrove forest, so that many there are a lot of mosquitoes at surrounding area. This pond is formed naturally and has white land, so if it is exposed sunlight, its water reflects white light like milk. It becomes a reason why this tourism object is called Kolam Susu or means milk pond. Kolam Susu is located at Junelu Village, Kakuluk Misek Sub-District, Belu Regency, or around 17 km in the north of Atambua, the capital city of Belu Regency. From Atambua, Kolam Susu takes around 20 minutes by using four-wheel vehicle. Touring by using motorcycle takes around a half hour. The road is winding up and down through valleys and cliffs, but the road is quite good. Usually, this place is crowded to be visited at the weekend or holidays. Listeners, local people and government keep developing Kolam Susu as tourism object and utilize it as center of milk fish and shrimp cultivation so that environment at Kolam Susu complex can well groom. For you who love fishing while enjoying beautiful nature, please visit Kolam Susu in Atambua, East Nusa Tenggara Province. That was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Mencari Aksesoris, which in English means looking for accessories. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Menemani, which means to accompany. Pergi, which means to go. Kemana, which means where. Mencari, which means to look for. Aksesoris, which means accessories. Tradisional, which means traditional. Anting, which means earrings. Kalung, which means necklace. Bros, which means brooch. Warna biru, which means blue color. Sesuai, which means matching. Baju, which means clothes. Saya, which means I. Lantai dua, which means second floor. Memilih, which means to choose. Walaupun, which means although. Harga, which means price. Mahal, which means expensive. Mutu, which means quality. Bagus, which means good. Jangan lupa, which means do not forget. Pulang kantor, which means office break. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Mencari Aksesoris, or in English means looking for accessories. The conversation is between A. Donna and B. Nita at the office.
Hey, Donna, apakah kamu bisa menemani saya? Apakah kamu bisa menemani saya? Which means, can you accompany me? B, Nita, kamu mau pergi kemana? Kamu mau pergi kemana? Which means, where are you going to? A, Donna, saya mau ke Sarinah. Saya mau ke Sarinah, which means, I'm going to go to Sarinah. Saya mau mencari aksesoris tradisional. Saya mau mencari aksesoris tradisional, which means, I want to look for some traditional accessories. B, Nita, aksesoris apa yang kamu cari? Aksesoris apa yang kamu cari, which means, what accessories do you want to look for? A, Donna, saya mencari anting, kalung, dan bros. Saya mencari anting, kalung, atau bros, which means, I want to look for earrings, necklace, or brooch. Saya mencari warna biru. Saya mencari warna biru, which means, I want to get a blue color. Supaya sesuai dengan baju saya. Supaya sesuai dengan baju saya, which means, in order to match with my clothes. B, Nita, di Sarinah, di lantai 2. Di Sarinah, di lantai 2, which means, at Sarinah, on the second floor. Di sana tersedia bermacam-macam aksesoris tradisional. Di sana tersedia bermacam-macam aksesoris tradisional, which means, there are available various kinds of traditional accessories. Kamu bisa memilih. Kamu bisa memilih, which means you can choose it. Di sana, walaupun harganya sedikit mahal, tetapi mutunya bagus. Walaupun harganya sedikit mahal, tetapi mutunya bagus, which means although the price is relatively expensive, the quality is good. Baiklah, jangan lupa nanti pulang kantor ya. Oh, salah. A, Donna, baiklah, jangan lupa nanti pulang kantor ya. Baiklah, jangan lupa nanti pulang kantor ya. Which means, alright, do not forget after the office break. Tolong temani saya ke Sarinah. Tolong temani saya ke Sarinah. Which means, please accompany me to Sarinah. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topics. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to an Indonesian pop singer, Mus Mujiono. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Tanda Tanda by Mus Mujiono.
Terjadi, kini ku alami sejak kehadirannya.
Listener, born from Kroncong musician family, Mus Mujiono was not contaminated with Kroncong musical gentry. Mus Mulyadi is the elder brother of Mus Mujiono. Mus Mujiono pursuing jazz music since a young age, even he is very much idolized the world singer and guitarist George Benson, until his vocal character almost equal to his idol George Benson. Mus Mujiono even dubbed as Indonesia's George Benson both his guitar performance or the vocal color. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Arti Kehidupan by Mus Mujiono. Have a listening.
Dalam lautan ku mencari arti kehidupan, mendaki gunung kekecewaan melelahkan. Menjelma seperti khayalan, kau impian dalam kenyataan. Perjalanan yang penuh menjelma seperti khayalan, kau impian dalam kenyataan. Perjalanan yang penuh likunya kini telah tiba. Arti hidupku.
Listeners, since a childhood, Mus Mujiono has showed his artistic talent both as a guitarist and as a singer and songwriter. When he was 18 years old, he has joined the Hans Group Band and produced one hit song entitled Hello Sayang. Since at that time, Mus Mujiono was increasingly known in the Indonesian pop music with Hans Band. Unfortunately, he joined the group just in a few times. Then he tried his luck for a solo career and released a number of albums, including jazz rock album that adding more variety of music color in the Indonesian pop music industry. All of Mus Mujiono's albums were quite popular in the market because the Indonesian pop music lovers was in transition period from pop to jazz music genre at that time. Mus Mujiono answered it by releasing all the Jazz Nuances album. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Satu Jam Lagi by Mus Mujiono. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Malam ku ucapkan kepada ku sambut mesra kehadiranmu, oh kasih, di sini kita berdua hanya dalam cinta ciptakan suasana penuh kemesraan. Rasa cepatnya waktu berlalu, 3 jam sudah kita bercanda berdua. Ku genggam erat tanganmu, penuh cinta kasih. Rasanya enggan untuk berpisah, aku masih rindu. Cinta kasih rasanya enggan berpisah, aku masih rindu. Malam ini
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
Sebabnya masih saja kau ragukan cintaku. Lalu harus bagaimana meyakinkan hatimu bahwa diriku milikmu seorang. Percaya dan semati, apapun yang nanti kan terjadi. Percayalah kasih, tiada yang lain harapanku, tiada yang lain oh cintaku, hanyalah
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.